Yes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode number 83 of the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, the great Chris Schaefer. Now, yeah. Chris, you and I, we do this podcast to talk about AdWords. We do it to help people and make our industry, you know, try to improve our industry.
To no financial gain of our own.
Even. No financial gain, but we are promoting ourselves here. So with that said, Chris, give me your feedback here. Do you want people to reach out to you on Twitter? Give me your honest answer here.
No.
Do you have a Facebook page we can send them to?
No.
Do you want them to check out your website for anything?
Sure. Go to my website. That's perfect. Website has all the information. Now, if you want to be friends and you just want to chat, Twitter is fine. But you're going to have a hard time getting me excited on a Saturday afternoon about talking about AdWords. I mean, that's the truth of it, people.
Behind your back, I call you the king of self-promotion, Chris.
Wow.
You're hot horrible. And you don't know it. And that's the hottest thing about you. And you play hard to get, but you guys know where to find him, chrisschaefer.com. Give him a ring. Now, Chris, we thought we were done right when I thought I was out.
Yes.
They pulled me right back in. We're still in our build here, Chris. Part six. What's going on, man?
Well, I think, Jason, as you said, we were done. I said, congrats, Chris. We did it. We finished the epic conclusion to this campaign build. But I think you said it best in saying simply, now what, right? I built the campaign. Now what do I do? The campaign's built. And we talked a lot about optimization and how we might talk about that. But I think, Jason, you came up with a really good suggestion on how to address just the basics of what to watch for. After you hit that go button, the numbers start coming in. You start spending money. You get impressions and clicks and hopefully conversions.
Right.
What do you do then? If you had to pick what's going to be most important to watch, because you know as well as I, there are tons and tons and tons of metrics out there that you can look at and get lost in. But there's only a few that really matter in the first, you know, days and weeks of the campaign. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I think it's perfect. What's amazing is Jason and I, as always, just we sync up and Jason kind of pre-outlined today's episode, and it just fits. It just fits with what you and I would both write separately, because I'm looking through the stuff, and it just fits. So this is honestly the same, you know, Jason's going to present it. You know, I'm going to chime in, but this is honestly the way that I would present it as well. This is solid stuff. But first, and I'm sure you have this in your schedule, Jason, but I believe you have some reviews to read.
Chris, you are... Man,
I'm learning.
You are getting good. You are getting good at that tease. I was ready to go, man. That was, I want to hear this information that we got planned. That was a great tease. But the only reason we're able to do this is because the show grows, and it grows. The number one way to grow the show is to share it with friends. The number two way is to leave an iTunes review, because that really bumps up the show with their algorithm. So, Chris, today we are reading the iTunes review from Dubstep. GG.
Oh, nice. Dubstep, yeah. Good game. Nice.
You like this one. He has the title, The Best AdWords Podcast Ever.
That's an excellent title.
You know, so many to choose from. In his title, he puts broad match modifiers on the title. So, Chris, man.
He's in the in crowd.
This is a special guy going somewhere to think like that.
Yep.
And, you know, I'd love to see some phrase match and exact match quality review titles in there.
Is somebody doing a phrase match review?
And then I'd love to see someone mess up a dynamic keyword insertion in the title. You ever see those ads live on AdWords, Chris, when they're like,
it's misspelled like a keyword or something?
Movers, keyword here, parentheses, and it shows up in the search result.
Default text is like on the ad.
Yep. So I'd love to see those in the reviews, guys. So thank you. Just thank you. This podcast is the Solomon's gold mine of PPC.
Man.
The hosts are honest, transparent, and extremely helpful. The content is always relevant and useful, even if you're already an AdWords professional.
Look at that.
Thank you, Jason and Chris. Thumbs up. So thank you very much, Dubstep, double G. You know, it is a Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, not your.
Oh, gosh. Did you
but
really?
That's okay. He's in the AdWords business.
Come on.
It's not like spelling and language, and none of that stuff matters for AdWords.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
Sure, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, GG. Dubstep, GG.
I like to call him out. Now, Chris, let's talk about now what. The reason this was on my mind is because as we were doing our Sweetums build, I was launching a new campaign, brand new campaign for a brand new client.
You do one of those, you think you do two a year, don't you? Two new clients a year?
You know, something like that. Between 2 and 17,000.
Right.
So, but yeah, so Chris, and you know what I'm talking about here. You get that business owner. They're really happy they finally found you, someone that knows what they're doing with AdWords. They know they need to be on Google. They're excited to be on Google, but they've never done it before ever. And you're like, wow, think of all the things that could go wrong after all the stuff I told them and promised them on how it's going to go. And so that got me thinking about all these things I think about and you think about when we're done with the build, but right before we launch. And you said this list is exactly what you would come up with. And you said that's surprising because you were saying a lot of people who do AdWords might not think of these things or might think of these things differently. You were teasing me before the show. Why don't you kind of explain why you think this is so unique?
I could talk about all the examples of ways that I hear people discuss their campaigns, and I look at their campaigns. I do an audit of their campaigns and kind of see where they're at. But basically, Jason, what it comes down to is this. From what I've seen, after all the years of looking at campaigns, here's where I think people fall through when they build a campaign and when they launch it and what they do to optimize it or how they're frustrated by what they don't know what to do about optimizing it. I think people honestly believe that AdWords is some type of automated system that you drop your keywords in, you drop your ads in, you hook up your credit card to it, and it starts spitting out leads for you. It suddenly starts providing phone calls or sold products or whatever. Like, you know, what I think people make the core mistake about is that they think that AdWords is inherently a system that will work for them. They don't really have to make it work themselves. They don't have to work the system in order to make it work for them. And I see that, and that you may not think that you think that way, but the way that you build your campaign, you think that way because you put broad keywords in. You give Google carte blanche on the budget that you put in. You build campaigns that do not really tell Google what kind of traffic you really want.
You run your ads for 2 hours and wonder why you don't have 10 calls that morning.
Yeah. People think that it's a vending machine, and it's a very complex. I mean, we have a podcast with over 80 episodes talking about the dang thing. I mean, come on, it's complicated. And to think that people would consider this to be a system that they can somehow pull the lever and it just works, I see a lot of that, and it's surprising. Maybe it's to say something about how much trust they have in Google, but in the end, you know, it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, Google's got a great brand, and they're a great company. I think one reason why is maybe business owners are typically busy, Chris, and they just look at this as one more checklist item to knock off the list, and then once it's knocked off the list, that's it. But like you say, that's not it. So to start off here, Chris, I think we'll just go through, this is all the now what, all the stuff we look at after the build, but before the launch. And Chris, I think we can just go through this list here, and then give the problem or the question and then our solution to how we handle it. So we're starting with basics here, Chris. And maybe, Chris, why this would be happening if it goes wrong. But Chris, just as basic as it gets, did my ads get approved? You never feel as stupid as when you build a client's account and then you do all your emails back and forth and they're like, hey, this is great, we're ready to go. You finally launch 4 days later. You get there on that Monday morning and you turn on. Nothing starts going because the ads are not, they're not running because they got disapproved and you never thought to check that within the 4 day period. So Chris, common ways ads would get approved, do any come to mind like that you see all the time?
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing that a lot of people might get caught on is two things, and I'll run through them quickly. Number one is using different domains in the same ad group. That will immediately get you disapproved. Every single ad. So if you have, you know, a one domain, which is widget XYZ, and then you bought another one that you have a different product on and it's widget ABC, that will immediately cause you to be disapproved and none of your ads will run if you swap those around in the same ad group. Now, you can have them in separate ad groups, to be clear, because we got a question about this on YouTube recently. You can put different domains in different ad groups, but if you put them in the same ad group, you'll get disapproved.
You know why people always get caught with that, Chris, is because they have old ads paused.
Yes.
And they don't see them when it says all enabled ads. But the system still sees all but removed ads.
Yep.
And it happens to me all the time still.
If it's not removed, then you can get caught with that. Number two is using brand names and trademarks without any concern for repercussions. So I see a lot of people will use Google or YouTube or different phrases like that, Ford and Toyota and different things like that, depending on what they're selling, and immediately they're going to be disapproved or limited. And that can affect your ad impression share. Once I say ad impressions, there's no such thing, but it can affect your impression share because now you're not able to show ads anymore because of that. So that's two things I think of immediately that causes your ads to be disapproved.
Right. And so some people may think, well, how would I ever be disapproved because someone else's trademark? I'm not going to use that in my ad. Stuff happens sometimes. Like Chris, just the other day, we had I forget the word, but it was some word like slim or limited or something like that. And our ads got approved limited status because of that word. And I called in, I was like, hey guys, this is an adjective or whatever. It's not like someone's company. And they're like, oh yeah, it's a bug. We're fixing that right now. And they got us approved. But yeah, those are a couple reasons, Chris. And one that comes to my mind is sometimes Google thinks a website is down. And maybe it's down for a while. Maybe it went down for 30 minutes overnight and no one noticed. But then all of a sudden the system disapproves the ads and it says your website's not working. Mm-hmm. And so you call in and say, hey guys, my website is working, and they get it approved. But all that stuff happens between the build and the launch. Now, the next thing I'm looking at here, Chris, making sure the client adds the remarketing code and then confirming that that tag is firing. So why don't you walk us through the importance of that and how you kind of confirm that?
Yeah. So basically, now you'll have to refer to our remarketing discussion for details on this, but basically making sure that that tag is added to your site is an important part, because when you start spending $3, $4, $10 per click, the value of remarketing to someone is really important because you can reach out to these people a second time, potentially without spending any additional money. So it's important to make sure you have that remarketing tag on your site. Go back and listen to our episode about that if you have any questions about that. But the way that you can confirm that it's working, I know for me, Jason, what I do is I just go in and start seeing if there's audience members being added to that remarketing tag, which is in the audience tab.
Nice.
And that's really how I check it. Once we hit 100, I know we're golden and we can start showing ads. But if you only have 50 or 60, you're not going to be showing any impressions yet. You have to have at least 100 in that audience tag. Then it starts showing. I think it's really important that that is done properly, because Jason, imagine a year down the road, you realize your remarketing tag isn't working and you're not showing any ads. You missed a lot of opportunities to remarket to those people that you've spent money on.
Yeah, that could be tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of impressions that you're missing out on. And Chris, usually what I do is I monitor the audience size just like you do, but I also go to shared library and then audiences, and they've got a very nice, for the remarketing section, a very nice just graphic that says this tag is active. I like checking it there. So now, Chris, similar to that, the next one, and again, this is one of those things, it's just a pain in the behind, you know, to get this stuff done, but it's like the biggest thing ever, and that's conversion tracking. There's a lot of back and forth between the AdWords person making the conversion code, the business owner, and then their IT employee that doesn't know how to communicate with other people in a nice way. Sending stuff to IT people every now and then. Stuff gets lost in translations from humans to bad people.
Yes.
So, but yeah, Chris.
Bad people.
No, just kidding. But a lot of stuff, it just gets lost in translation. And the task here is making sure conversion code gets added and that it's tracking correctly. A tip on getting it added correctly, Chris, dealing with IT people, I'm giving them some grief now, but I'm just kidding around. They're busy. They don't really get AdWords. They're not involved. I like giving them as simple as I can instructions and as full instructions as I can. So I literally tell them, put this code on this page right before the last body tag, right before the last head tag, whatever. And if you speak their language to them, they get it done. But if you just send them the conversion code and go, please put this on the site, obviously that's frustrating to someone who doesn't know where it should go.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do not have your conversion tag in place, you do not communicate properly with your web developer to get that in place, you're just gathering clicks and impressions. I mean, assuming you don't even have Google Analytics in place either, you're just gathering numbers. You have no idea about what this traffic is really doing on your site. So this is absolutely important before you hit that go button, is to make sure that conversion tracking is set up. And again, I know we've talked about that before on the podcast. Yeah. So
And Chris, just to let people know how we confirm it's set up correctly, there's a couple different ways. One is Google has a great Chrome extension called the Tag Assistant by Google. And what it does, it'll scan a page for Google codes and it'll say, hey, the remarketing code is active. Hey, the website call conversions are active. Hey, the website lead form conversion is on the site, but it's outside of the body. It tells you that stuff just from that add-on. So I love using that. The other way, Chris, is old-fashioned, especially for website call tracking. Do a search, a brand search if you can, to keep the cost low. Temporarily add your location if it's not in there and see if the website phone number changes and dial it and see if that call gets tracked in the dimensions tab. Is that kind of how you do it?
Yeah. If you're using the free Google call tracking system that's built into AdWords, that's honestly the only way that it works. Yeah. Now, if you're using other paid systems, there are some tracking.
Chris, you're so add-ons. High and mighty. Every time we talk about the free website call conversion tracking, which I love, which I think is a game changer, a differentiator, you have this like high and mighty snobby attitude. Like I need it's a third party. What's your beef here?
Because you just said that you have to go in and click an ad in order to check it. Jason, that's frustrating because
there really should be a preview tool.
Yeah, there should be. You have no confirmation. And second, Jason, you can't absolutely tell a client what phone number that's going to show up. And you also can't tell that client for sure that that phone number will work if that person saves it after they call that plumber. And then 6 months later, they need to call them again. They have that number. They dial it and it suddenly doesn't work and they don't remember what the name of the plumber was.
You're being negative.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't worry about these things. Because I can't control them and my clients aren't going to do a third-party software. But yeah, these are flaws in the system and it's a little frustrating because it's like, let's get it done here.
There's nothing wrong with it. I absolutely love that it's built in because this is something that other systems do not provide you with. This is wonderful. Thank you, Google, for doing it. But I'll tell you, you aren't paying anything for it, anything additional. So, I mean, really, you can't complain. So I'm not complaining. Because this is a free system they're providing. But be aware, there are limitations about something like this. And I don't have stock in the other systems. You know, I just...
You're just an everyday snob, yeah.
I am. I'm not wearing a tie.
Every time I
I'm not the one wearing a tie. Thank you very much. So,
every time I say free website call tracking from AdWords, your nose crinkles up and you look like you just put your little cowboy boot in poop, you know? You're just like...
Cowboy boot, yeah. Because
Chris
what
does
wear
cowboy boots, down there.
And
Texas,
Jason wears ties on a podcast. So come on, who's snobby?
No, I don't wear ties to a podcast. I wear ties to work.
Right.
You said when we're recording, this is during our work day. So
right. And stand up and let me see your appropriate Jockers pants that you have on too, right?
That's funny. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. So anyway, Chris, the next one is in your control if you're the business owner. Coaching your staff, coaching your employees. This is, I know for some reason, this one bothers you so much more than me. Like if someone's not going to answer the phone when we get them a great call from AdWords, I just take the attitude like, okay, that's on them. They obviously know they need to answer their phone, but you are like personally hurt when this happens. So why don't you break down this issue and how you coach your clients up on it?
So, well, I mean, honestly, I don't coach them because Jason, through the years, I've gotten a little more calloused and I realize I'm not going to be able to save every business in America.
Yeah.
So what I've decided is essentially I just change my hours to air to times that are going to be most likely for them to answer.
Honestly, I'm going to start using that. Like that is a great AdWords manager hack right there. Like we're doing a YouTube video on that, Chris. You just earned yourself a YouTube video. Man.
Oh, great.
So yeah, Chris, the problem here is that you get clients great traffic, which includes great leads and great phone calls, but maybe they take lunch between 12 and 1 and don't feel the need to tell their AdWords manager that. And then you go to the dimensions tab and you see these missed calls. And that can kill your conversion rate. It can kill your cost per conversion and make the AdWords system and the AdWords manager look bad.
And to clarify, I mean, I know everyone's not thinking what I'm thinking here because what Jason's saying is someone clicks a phone number and only stays on the phone because it rings for 10 seconds. You've just clicked and not converted because your phone call was not over 60 seconds. That's why Jason says that someone can call and still kill your conversion because Jason's at a higher level. You know, he's talking about things that not everyone understands. And that's why someone can call from a Google call tracking number from the ad and still not get a conversion. ladies and gentlemen. Definitely. That's honesty there. He has his conversion number set to 60 seconds.
You are straight up an old angry curmudgeon, because everything that we talk about, it just bothers you. Like,
it does.
You talking about conversion length, that just reminded me, oh yeah, Chris hates when agency people lie about the conversion length on a phone call.
1 second, and that's a convert. That was a value to you, sir.
How come my last AdWords manager got me a 77% conversion rate, and you're only getting me 33%?
Well, George, do you realize that 40% of your budget was going towards your company name?
Chris, it's been great working with you. We're not vibing. I don't like the way you're communicating with me, so...
Get angry. I know. Hey, you know, it's been a rough week. Jason knows.
We might talk about, I was going to try to pull it out of you. We'll see how loose you get later, but I don't want to get you in trouble here. So, Chris, now, of all the worries about all this stuff, all this now what stuff, this is probably my biggest concern always, Chris. Did we find all the relevant keywords? Are we missing something totally obvious? Did we do Sweetums Dentist and then we didn't add the word pediatric dentist? Or kids dentist, and then the client looks at the account and goes, whoa, like 70% of our business is kids. Why is there nothing about kids in here? When they're half the patient population somewhere like Plano or anywhere, half the people are probably young kids. So that's a huge worry for me, Chris. The way I kind of solve that or take this one on is I use the big red button. Everyone knows what we're talking about on the keywords tab. When you're looking at the keywords right above the list of keywords, there's a huge red button that says plus keywords. If you click that, is it in the ad groups tab or the keywords tab? Help me out here.
It's in, well.
Got to be in the keywords.
It's got to be in the keywords, yeah.
Yeah, but you're looking at it at the ad group level.
Ad group level, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so this gives you suggestions. It looks at the keywords you put in. It looks at the website URL and says, hey, did you think about this? Did you think about that? That's how I solved this issue of did we find all the relevant keywords, Chris? Is that the only way to do it? Do you have anything else you do?
No, I mean,
is this a big worry for you? Is it just me?
No, I mean, it's something I'm concerned about, but I usually use what you're talking about and also search queries to see if, you know, it's like, wow, that's a great idea. You know, because stuff will come through on search queries that I completely missed, and then I'll add it in afterwards when I see it. So no, I think you got it covered there.
So you might miss a search like pediatric dentist, but then because you've got Plano dentist broad match modified, someone might do pediatric dentist in Plano. Plano,
right?
And then that cues off your brain to think, okay, maybe I need to look into this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
exactly.
Interesting. Yep. So yeah, and you know, maybe I'm a little hard on myself there. Maybe that's just part of the game. You got to run a campaign to.
Well,
get data.
I think you have another point that kind of covers that based on budget spend. So we'll probably come back to a reasoning to worry about with another point.
The next one, Chris, this might be my most liked tweet ever. Tweet hashtag AdWords tips.
Oh.
Don't like me a little bit less because I just said that,
well,
Chris.
Hashtag. I'm not a big hashtagger, but you know. That's just me. Go ahead. Just the tip. Let's do it.
Yeah. So, Chris, the ramp up is real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is my... So, in this tweet, I talked about how there is a ramp up period in Google. It's not on paper anywhere. No one really talks about it. No one knows about it. But turning on a brand new AdWords account, brand new AdWords campaign, it feels like you're flipping a light switch, but it's more like warming up an old car in winter. And this must have touched a nerve with a lot of people on Twitter, Chris, because that was my most liked tweet ever. And I think a lot of people were like, thank you. I thought it was only me. I didn't know what's going on. But the ramp up is real, Chris. This is just telling yourself, telling the client, like, hey, first couple days, first week, we might do everything right. We might target a major population, a major city for a moving company. We might have a $100 a day budget and expect 10 clicks and 3 phone calls or whatever. And we might get like 1 click. And it just will not look like we know what we're doing. It'll not look like things are going right. And I just tell the client, hey, there is a ramp up period. Let me get through these first 2 weeks here. But I think setting those proper expectations that the first 2 weeks can just be weird is a really, really valuable insight to carry with you as you manage a lot of AdWords campaigns or run your own.
Yeah, good point. And Jason, this is something that you have brought to my attention, because I didn't necessarily realize that was such a chronic issue, but you're absolutely right. It is.
Right.
If I were to put a Jason quote on my wall, it would be AdWords launches are like old cars and less like light switches. I think that would that summarize it? Is that the quote?
Well, you've learned 2 things from me. One was this, the ramp up is real. The second was the one we talked about before the show. That hobby,
yeah,
which is not iTunes appropriate.
That's nobody,
Chris,
is laughing.
Chris, are you coming over tonight?
No, No, I don't. Are you not going to participate in your hobby? No, nobody gets this joke. Sorry, just skip forward 5 seconds.
Right. Honestly, if you're into it, just alone, Chris, no. I think you get it. But if you're into it, man, why are you listening to this show? You need some therapy. So, Chris, what to do if we aren't spending the budget? What moves do we have planned? And we've got a lot of different topics here, Chris. So the main thing to think about before you start running the campaign and prepare for is, whoa, we only have a $50 a day budget, maybe $1,500 a month, whatever, and we're not spending this full budget? Like, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with our campaign? So, Chris, not being able to spend the full budget, is that something you think about before a campaign?
I think about it when it's happening. So if a budget's not spending, I go back to the question that you talked about before. Did I miss some core keywords? Did I miss something that would be important for this client? So
that's your number one move, is did I miss something?
Yeah. I usually think, did I miss something? Assuming you have like an 80% search impression share,
right?
You know, there's something I'm missing. Like, people aren't searching for this. I'm too specific. I've dialed in too much. I need to back off and find something at a bit more relatable level. I've listened to the client too much about all the specific areas of their service, right, and I haven't really hit what the actual service is. What is the layman call this?
What is the problem someone's having?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. What's the problem someone's typing into Google, not what is the color of the product that they're selling? You know, it's too specific. So, yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And Chris, beyond looking for more keywords, a few tweaks you can make to spend more of the budget. You can check your positions. If you're position 3, 4, 5, 2 point something, there is always room to go up to 1 and get a higher click-through rate when you're in that top position generally. So you can raise the bids. You can expand the location you're targeting, expand the schedule, and the last lever you have to pull to spend more of the budget is you can loosen the match types. You can take exact a phrase, you can take phrase to broad modified, you can take broad modified to less broad modified, and then you can do Chris's favorite, pure broad.
Right, because that's what I advocate. Absolutely. I am a hypocrite and a moron. So, yes.
Now, Chris, the next thing that I'm thinking about before we even launch, things I'm going to be looking at during the first couple weeks, things I want to go right, am I getting a good click-through rate?
Yeah.
And
curmudgeon here.
You don't like that?
Not at the early part. But here's the thing. I actually see click-through rates jump like crazy in the first, you know, a few days, in the first week.
Brother, that's the ramp up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I cannot explain it, but that is the ramp up. Yeah.
It's almost like, ooh, there's a new advertiser. And suddenly Google, like, it generates this, you know, hype train. And you suddenly start getting all these clicks and this click through. You're like, wow, I'm so relevant. And then it starts dropping after a few days. You're like, what happened? So now click through rate, the next point you have is really what I identify with, which is search term quality.
Search term quality.
I know I'm stealing your thunder because I'm sure you're going to lead up to this, but I'm just going to grab the rug and yank because...
Grab that bolt. Get 8 seconds, brother.
I was just telling someone today, if you want to see what I've done more in my life than anything, it's watch me click on the screen and highlight search terms and say added, excluded, you know, sit and copy one of the searches and put it into Google to see what other searches come up for that. I start analyzing my search queries. That's the heart of what I think AdWords management is about, because there's nothing that idealizes quality of traffic like a search term. You can really understand what someone's searching. You might think at the keyword level, just real brief here, carpet cleaners is the keyword. Okay. We get 2 searches, Jason. One of them is how to clean my carpet. Not valuable, right? You don't want that click. The other one is local area carpet cleaners.
Right.
Very valuable. You would not know the difference between those 2 searches unless you looked at the search query. One you realize is junk. The person wants to do it themselves. The other one is looking to hire someone. Completely indistinguishable at the keyword level, but entirely black and white at the search query level.
Yeah, you're right. It's indistinguishable at the keyword level. You can't tell it. That difference, if you're looking at, are we spending the full budget? You can't tell that difference if you're looking at, is my click-through rate 2% or 3%? The search terms, you're right, Chris, and that's, you know, one of the things we're ending on here, Chris, is search terms quality. And just like you, that's the place where I find myself going to more than anything in AdWords. And you could say it's even more important than conversions, because conversions are based on so many factors, like, did a client's staff go out to lunch and not get the phone call? Were they rude on the phone and didn't handle the call correctly? Was the conversion code firing on the thank you page last week, or did they mess something up on their website? All that stuff has a lot of factors, but the one thing you can control as an AdWords manager to really define, are you doing your job or running your account? Am I running my account the best I can? Is that search terms quality? And Chris, that's something I'm looking at during day one of the launch. I want to see what search terms come in. And then if I don't like them, I'm looking for the keywords that are driving the bad search terms. Now, Chris, the last thing I look for, or I'm thinking about right before I launch, is prepping my mindset. Hey, I got to go into that dimensions tab during the first week and see, are we getting phone calls? And if we are they being answered? And how long do they last?
Yeah, that's
a
good
pretty
point.
Much it. That's all the stuff I'm thinking about going into the launch.
That's excellent. Excellent list, Jason. I think, honestly, we've covered the panic points. And then from there, you know, it's really just maintenance of these things forward. You know, it's trying new things, adding keywords and adding negative keywords and really trying to hone in on what's working best for you. So the optimization part is a completely different conversation. I don't want to make it sound simple, but it's an entirely new thing that's just never ending. But I think this really does conclude, because this is the point for once you hit the go button, these are the things you prep all the way from remarketing to conversion tracking, all the way to the very end of hitting the go button and checking just in the first couple days, are these things working properly? You hit these things and you know you've built a good campaign. You should very much expect to be successful with AdWords if you follow the guidelines since we started this build out. And I'll tell you what, there is a Sweetums Dentist CEO that's going to be very happy with his quarterly report for the first of 2018.
We did it for him. We did a good job.
I just want to say congratulations. You receive a bonus, which is
A free x-ray.
We don't have those guards to protect your chest from the x-rays, but you get all the free x-rays you want.
Now, Chris, we finished up our show. I'm going to stop recording here, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
It's just you and me, buddy.
Oh, no. You're going
to
ask.
Honestly, no, you're a great guy. I look up to you.
Thank you.
You've got everything under control. So the few times a year where I see you out of control, where I see you frazzled, when you've turned that upside down frown upside down and you're frowning.
That's weird. Okay.
It shakes me, Chris. It shakes me to the core. What happened to little Christopher today?
Not today.
Were the bullies mean on the playground?
Chris,
don't get yourself in trouble. I'm going to feel bad.
I know. No, I just,
Let's have a teachable moment for the audience out there.
I found out that I'd been taken advantage of by a client who had set certain expectations in my head and had been, let's say, stringing me along for the past 3 years.
Wow.
Two and a half years. And, you know, Jason, you and I live month to month with our clients because the integrity of our work has to be earned month to month. And and so I don't necessarily consider myself in a situation where I have to, you know, somehow prove what I'm worth in order to go and advance to the next step. But yet that was somehow his intention. And Jason, have you ever heard of someone proving someone over a series of years? You know, it was difficult.
No, it was weird. This multiple AdWords manager thing. It's a weird thing. And it's just like, I don't know what kind of BS someone else is saying. But I mean, how can you get better than a Chris Schaefer?
Well.
And I'm not saying people can't match what you and I do. Tons of our audience does. They do just as good.
Absolutely.
But to do way better, it doesn't make sense. But
I'll just say, tip your waiters and waitresses. What I'll say, you know, spay and neuter your pets.
You know what I'll say, Chris, is there's a lot of people, and we get the emails every week. Hey, I just quit my job. Hey, I want to quit my job. Hey, I want to do this full time. You love it.
I honestly love it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who are aspiring and they're younger and they want to build this niche as a career. And the one thing I'd say to them, Chris, is as smooth as anybody can talk, as nice as everyone seems, no one in business is your friend.
No.
And you do a good job for them. They give you money. You earn your spot. But this whole friend thing and buddy-buddy and people talking to you slick and people are trying to use you. Sometimes in business, what they're going for matches up and mm-hmm. you can have like a good shared experience, mutually beneficial relationship. Clients save time and money and we make money and we have a job, it works out. But I will say, Chris, the shady people that I've worked for, that I've run into, they always start off with the buddy-buddy talk.
Yeah.
Almost to a T. So I'd say that's a big red flag and be tough. And you're not here to be anybody's friend. You're here to do a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's well said. And Jason, although I do appreciate all of my clients and appreciate working for all of them month after month, year after year, there's only one friend that I have in the AdWords business, and that person doesn't pay me a dime and neither do I pay them a dime. And his name is Jason.
Walt Conger.
And I'm looking...
Chris,
no,
dang,
come
sorry.
On, Jason, you're my buddy. Walt,
Chris, you're my buddy.
Second
and,
string, but
Chris,
that's...
I was thinking about you today. Thank you for that. And I was just thinking, man, like I look forward to this podcast. I got a lot of stressors in my life. Those are people who stress me, and you're not one of them. We just have a good time. We respect each other's time. Everything works out, so it's great on both
it's
ends.
Good. It's good. Merry Christmas, everyone.
But you're not here as my friend. I'm not your buddy. We're mutually beneficial. I'm just kidding. Guys, you can relax at standard, but it's when you're working for someone.
Yeah. Maybe sometime if you guys are interested, we can talk more about some just freelancing advice as far as not about so much about AdWords, but just maybe just business stuff, you know, that we've learned over the years. We could probably talk about
that. But to know it, we got to know that's what you want. So comment.
Let us know.
Send us emails. Let us know.
This is our core audience here, the people who've hung on after 40 minutes.
This series was so good. Not doing an outro. I'm done.
Okay.
Just hit the end button. I'll see you next week.
Yeah. Goodbye is tough to say.